Father, we do thank you that we can have fun in your presence. And I think it's so neat that a relationship with you means not a call to religiosity and rigidity, but a call to just walking with you through life. Just like the We Will Remember song says, we walk with you through the good times, the bad times, the times when we don't know if we'll survive, and the times when we feel so overwhelmed with blessing that it doesn't even seem right that we're so blessed. You're a God of relationship, a God that created us as human beings, created us to live in a world with all the humanity and the emotions that we experience. And thankfully, you're also a God who redeemed us from our lostness, from the rebellion that was in our heart from birth, from the time that Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Yet you redeemed us by that precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus himself. And it's for that reason that we meet, we sing, we worship, we study your word, we love one another, and we persevere, and we go on by faith, all because of that redemption that we have. Please bless now the preaching of your word in this place. May it go forth with power and bring life and conviction and strength and encouragement and equipping. May it do all the things that you intend for it to do, Lord God. May we not hinder it by our lack of faith or by hardness in our heart. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to give some credit to Pastor Timothy Peck this morning. You don't know who he is, but I am going to be using some of the ideas that he had. So I always like to give credit where credit is due. Let's start by reading our text from 1 John chapter 5. I've been preaching through this book, and we're nearing the end. We probably only have about two or three messages left, including today's. 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. I'll give you a moment to turn there, and then we'll proceed to read 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. In the famous allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, and if you've never read that, I would really underscore the importance of every Christian getting a hold of Pilgrim's Progress and reading it. There's all kinds of versions, from the Old English version to children's versions to just in-between versions. Whatever suits your reading style, you need to pick up a copy if you're not familiar with it. But in that famous allegory, the main character, Christian, starts out with a tremendous burden on his back. And it's a burden of sin. And it was not until he finally came to the foot of the cross and took the burden off his back and laid it down at the cross that he was able to leave his burden and finally, for the first time, go free. He then proceeds throughout the rest of his life on his spiritual journey, encountering all kinds of ups and downs, times of encouragement, times of discouragement, times of traps that he almost fell into, times when he had friends with him and times when the friends forsook him. Victories and successes. Christian had left his burden at the cross, but he still had to endure trials of many, many kinds. And it's a very realistic picture of the Christian journey, which is why I've always loved it and why I recommend it to you if you've never read it before. James tells us, in a scripture that's a little bit hard to take sometimes, that we should count it all joy when we encounter trials of all kinds. And that's one of those scriptures, it's such a great scripture to read during good times. But when you're really being tested and tried, and you're really in the furnace of affliction, and you run across James saying, count it all joy when you encounter all kinds of trials, it's a much harder scripture to take. And I'm sure if you're like me, you nevertheless say, okay, Lord, I will count it all joy. I will praise you. Nevertheless, though you slay me, yet will I love you. But I wonder how many believers, how many of us go about our Christian journey as though being a Christian is a burden in itself? How many of us go through our Christian life as though being a Christian is a burden in itself? And a central passage in today's text says that God's ways are not burdensome. God's ways are not burdensome. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born again, the word says. Everyone who believes has been born again. When we accept that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God come in the flesh, the Messiah, and we put our full faith and trust in him and what he did for us, transferring faith in ourselves and in some perceived goodness or righteousness and transfer it to Jesus, that we are born again. We are born of him. Jesus told Nicodemus that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we are not born into a system of religion. We're not born to a system of do's and don'ts, though many Christians try to make it that. We're not born into a system of trying to cover up our flaws the way we might wax an old car, hoping that it will look beautiful again. We are born into the family of God, adopted as sons and daughters into his family, and we are his children. In this family of God, there is a tremendous interplay, and we've seen this so much in the letter of 1 John, tremendous interplay between our love for God and our love for people. Verse 1, the text says, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. The Bible never lets us separate our love for God from a necessary love, even a sacrificial love for other people. When Jesus was asked what the most important commandment was, he said, which commandment is the most important of all? The most important is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So loving God with all your heart and loving people, they're inseparable. As we said a couple times before, they're two sides of the same coin. We cannot say that we love God and then not love people. Nor can we claim to love people and care about people and yet not have a love in our heart for God. John talks so much about not just loving God, but loving people, that it's obvious that John is not being merely hypothetical, but he's speaking to an issue in the church. In the New Testament, these writers are always speaking to real-life issues. They're not out there in never-never theological land. They're addressing real life in real churches. The little children that John keeps addressing in this short epistle were not getting along. they were not getting along. The close-knit community of Christians had become a war zone of conflict and controversy, characterized by bitterness and resentment and misunderstanding. They were hardly being overcomers. The strife within their church family was overcoming them. Our church, Family Life Church, right here, and every church of Jesus exists to call people to love God and to love people, because this is the acid test of true devotion to Jesus Christ. As God's children, we are called to obey His commandments. There are some words that we tend to not like too much. I think Bill mentioned this yesterday morning in our men's meeting in passing. We tend to not like the word command. We tend to not like the word obey. We tend to not like the word submit. And it's not that they are bad words, but we have a very bad sin nature. That's why we don't like these kinds of words. We don't want to submit to authorities or obey our parents. We don't want the pastor telling us what God expects us to do. We'd rather have advice or insights or suggestions rather than commands. Then we can just do as we please. In the Old Testament, the word describes a time when that's exactly what the people did. They did as they pleased. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. But we have to remember who God is. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe. We are twice His. Firstly, because He created us, we are His. Secondly, because He redeemed us. He bought us back. And He has every right to make demands upon us. God has every right to make demands upon us. And we have every responsibility to obey those commands. And there's no justifiable reason for us not to say, "Yes, sir," to every one of His commands. Thank you, Dan, for that affirmation. His commands are not frivolous, and they're not whimsical. His commands are not grievous, and they are not burdensome, John says. His commands are righteous, and they are the ultimate way to firstly love God and secondly to love people. Now, oddly, we tend to talk more about the cost of following Jesus than the cost of not following Him. Don't you catch yourself thinking more about the cost of being a disciple, what I had to give up, what I had to lay down, instead of what my life would be if Jesus was not at the center of it? We complain more about God's expectations on us than dwell on what He has saved us from. We complain more about the burden of having to obey the Lord than we do about the burden that comes from disobeying the Lord. In other words, we often act as though the commands of the Lord are a big, heavy burden upon our shoulders. We'd like to look this morning, a little while, at what the burden is of not following the Lord. What is the burden of not following the commands of the Lord? First, there is the burden of deep entanglement, of slavery to the world. Now, our culture, and we all know this, promises us freedom if we will disobey God's commands. Just like the serpent promised freedom to Eve if she would take the fruit. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, our culture tells us every day in a thousand ways, not just a hundred ways, another way, to throw off restraint. Be free. Ignore God's commands and be free. Be at liberty. Have fun. No one can tell me what to do. I'll do as I please. Boss treats me like dirt. I'll walk off the job. My husband doesn't treat me well. I deserve someone who does. Parents make too many rules. I think I'll climb out of the bedroom window tonight and have some fun. I don't like what the pastor says. I'll ignore him. Maybe I'll skip a few weeks. I'll show him. I can do as I please sexually. It's my body. Nobody can tell me what to do. What do proponents of abortion say? It's your body. It's your choice. When God says, your body is mine. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That little tiny person growing inside of you is mine. Will you protect it for me? We do as we please, and then we're shocked to find brokenness, hurt, anger, loneliness, isolation, depression, and maybe even disease. We end up hating life, hating ourselves, blaming anything and everybody, and of course, most of all, blaming God himself, rather than blaming ourselves for refusing to love God's commands. Pastors spend a whole lot of time helping people figure out how to clean up the messes in their lives caused by the burden of disobedience. I've been a pastor for 30 years. I have never had to help people clean up the messes caused by following the ways of the Lord. I've never had people call and say, my life is such a mess. I've been following Jesus, following all his commands. And, oh, it's created such chaos in my life. I got so many messes, I don't know where to start. No, they call when it's the sin, it's the disobedience, it's the rebellion that has caused the messes. Throwing off restraint promises such freedom, but ends up entangling us in a spider-like web. The second burden of not following the commands of the Lord is the burden of defeat. You thought defeat goes in the shoes, but that's not the kind of defeat that we're talking about this morning. When we threw off restraint, we thought we would gain control. Instead, we found ourselves out of control, defeated by the world, and slaves to it. Peter says, for whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. But it doesn't have to be that way. John says, everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our faith, our Christian faith, people, is supposed to give us victory. It's supposed to enable us to overcome the world. The Greek word here that's used is the word Nike. Does it sound like a certain shoe you know of? That's where they got the name, Nike. Nike is from the Greek word overcome. You might remember Nike missiles if you're old enough. We are supposed to be able to overcome the world. But when we throw off God's commands, the world overcomes us. It defeats us. And we're left with all that inner turmoil. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to have victory. I don't have victory. Why am I defeated? Why does the world seem too powerful for me? John was writing to a church here whose goers were discouraged because so many of the church members were not walking in victory. They were not overcoming the world. The world was overcoming them. And I am grieved. I get really grieved when I'm aware that a lot of us are not walking in victory. We're being overcome. And I could ask you this morning without asking for an answer, are you walking in victory? I'll just pause for a second. Are you walking in victory? Can you honestly look at your life and say, yes, I am overcoming the world? Or would a number of us say, unfortunately, Pastor George, the world's overcoming me. If you could see my life, you could see what's going on. No, I'm not an overcomer. I'm not a Nike. I am being overcome by the world. How do we feel when the world seems just too strong? when it seems like it's just too strong for Jesus, too strong for God. When our children who were raised in the faith seem to fall for a stronger cultural message. When our government, founded upon biblical principles, seems more hell-bent than ever to throw off God and embrace unimaginable, unspeakable practices. Advocating same-sex marriage, introducing this even to kindergartners as though it's normal. As though it's normal. How do we feel when major corporations, like we mentioned last week, like Target Corporation, announces that you can use whatever bathroom you like. Men can use the women's room, women can use the men's room, doesn't matter what fitting room you, whatever you feel like you are that day, we want to welcome all people. We want to be welcoming in our store. How do you feel when you hear things like that? God's commands, when followed, are able to make us overcomers. They're enabling us to be free, while ignoring them will always lead to defeat and to discouragement. This scripture says that it is our faith that overcomes the world. When we walk with Him, when we trust Him, no matter what, He promises victory over the world, over our flesh, and over the devil, the one that we talked about yesterday, the men's meeting, who schemes against our souls. When our faith weakens, the world suddenly seems stronger, and we start to feel powerless against it. And we find ourselves walking in defeat instead of walking in victory. There's an old song, I don't know how many of you know it, has a line, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." How many of you know that song? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Spiritual victory over our world's confused values and culture rests securely on our faith in Jesus. When we stick with just trusting the Lord no matter what, we can and we will experience victory. We will overcome the world. The third burden of ignoring the Lord's commands is the burden of deception. Ignoring God's commands is, of course, sin. I never hesitate to use that word. Some churches don't use the word sin. I don't use lots of other words that make it sound more pleasant, more acceptable. Call sin, sin. Call your sin, sin. Don't sugarcoat it and call it something else. Ignoring God's commands is sin. Sin always leads to deception. Greater sin always leads to greater deception. Lesser sin leads to lesser deception. People who have given themselves over to sin are mired in deception. And at the very heart of deception is you're deceived. So you don't know it, you can't see it. If somebody tries to tell you, you'll think they're wrong because you are deceived. Abby, I want you to stand up right now. Can you recite for us with the hand motions James 1:22? Okay, that scripture is from our Vacation Bible School. Stand up again, and would you lead us all in that as a way of reinforcing what that scripture says?
But be doers of the word, and not hearers only,
so deceiving yourselves. James 1:22. And one more time.
Doers of the word,
and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. 1:22. Okay, thank you, Abby. She didn't know I was going to call on her. One of the major emphases in 1 John is right doctrine. The church that John was addressing was, they were getting off track. Again, John wasn't just being theological and decided to write a book and maybe get published on Amazon or something and sold. He's addressing real issues. And if you didn't know anything about Christian doctrine, you didn't even know what the Christian faith was all about, and you only had 1 John, you would know an awful lot about who Jesus is, that he is God come in the flesh, that his life and death and resurrection happened in order to redeem us from sin. John is addressing doctrinal issues, doctrinal problems, people getting off base, people getting deceived, getting fooled in this little epistle. John had to reiterate the divinity of Jesus Christ, the efficacy of the blood atonement, and the assurance of salvation, the assurance of eternal life for all who put their faith in Jesus. When we ignore the Lord's commands, when we ignore the clear teachings of Scripture, when we reinterpret them or decide that doesn't really apply to me, or I don't think I have to follow that particular verse, we will necessarily enter into some level of deception. The past few weeks we mentioned Oprah Winfrey and her universalism, and Rob Bell and Brian McLaren and the Jesus Seminar. Dr. Rod, my dentist, by the way, if you don't have a dentist, I'm going to put it in a commercial here. I'll do that often. Dr. Rod Marr, the fabulous dentist. He's just fantastic. I couldn't recommend him more. I went to see Dr. Rod about 2 weeks ago for my checkup. And if you ever sat in Dr. Rod's chair, you know that while his fingers are in your mouth, you can't say anything. So it's kind of a one-way conversation. But you just sit there listening to everything once in a while. But Dr. Rod told me that day, while I was sitting in his chair, he said, "I meet a lot of people who tell me that they love Jesus, but their life doesn't line up with the Scripture." And then he said this. This is the part that really caught my attention. He said that he has stopped questioning people when they say they love Jesus because he realizes that they really do. They truly love the Jesus that they have created, who is not the Jesus of the Bible. We want to be people who love the Jesus of the Scripture and keep his commands, all of his commands. His commands are not burdensome. After today, I hope that we will not catch ourselves complaining about the burden it is to be a Christian, the cost of discipleship, how much I have to give up, what it's costing me to be a believer. God's commands are not burdensome. God's commands are not a burden. Keeping God's commands are not burdensome. What is burdensome is not keeping God's commands. We take on the burden of deep entanglement and slavery. We take on the burden of defeat, regular, consistent defeat, instead of overcoming the world. We take on the burden of deception, unconsciously believing a lie and not even being able to recognize truth when we see it or hear it. When we are born again and we follow the precepts of the Lord, we live in a freedom that is truly freedom. We overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And over time, we see ourselves overcoming more and more and more things that we once thought, I'll just never be able to gain victory over that. Even that, over time, we'll see the Lord has led us in victory over that too. This is what is supposed to happen. Believers are not to be perpetually defeated, perpetually overcome as though somehow the world's too strong for God. Believers are to be entering into more and more ever-increasing victory over the world. We walk in truth while the world walks in darkness. We walk in abundant life now, and as 1 John mentions so much, and we have much to look forward to with eternal life one day in the very presence of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord this morning from 1 John. I trust the Holy Spirit has brought it close to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, it's amazing what we find in the Scripture as we come to it and sit before it and allow it to judge our lives. And it's amazing that even though we've read a book over and over again throughout our lives, that we ever find not just fresh insight, but fresh conviction and fresh direction for our lives and compelling truths that we can take hold of. Lord, I know, based on your word, that you want us, all believers, to walk in victory, to overcome the world by our faith, and to not be defeated by it. You want us to truly be able to say, following the Lord is not burdensome. It's not a huge cost. It was my life without Christ that was the huge cost. That was a deadly burden. Father, we love your word today. We love you, and thank you for the way you spoke to our hearts this morning. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.